What's up, guys? So on this episode of the Social Rate podcast, I have on Joshua Mixon. He's one of the friends that I met on Telegram, who I network with, connected with through doing VV, and then like buying VV NFTs, flipping, like learning about it. And then he currently, took a $20,000 investment, flipped it into over half a mil from flipping, which is pretty crazy. And I just wanted him to kind of share about his story, like how he got into this, like flipping NFTs, mainly VV, and then just his journey into this whole world of like crypto NFTs and the opportunity that's there for people. So welcome to the show.
How's it going? Well, first off, some of my names for some of you guys that may know me is either VV Collectible OG or also NFT Interviews. But yeah, other than that, I had never been into I never had got into crypto or anything like that. But I had been selling timeshare and in real estate for I think 17 years. And I did that my whole life, and I was very successful at it and six figures plus as well, and President's Club member with Wyndham Resorts. But I had recently had just got pregnant, my wife obviously, and we have now a 1-year-old, but I had a lot going on in my life. And one day this guy that makes $1 million a year just came up to me and told me to buy Ami, and he don't even talk to people. So it was kind of just weird, and he only told me and my brother because he loved my brother and I didn't really know him, but he told me to check it out. And he was turning 2 Bitcoin into Ami, and it was 3 zeros and then a 1 7. And he put 2 Bitcoin in at that time. So I started looking into it because he was so successful, and I wasn't not gonna listen at all. So I went and I got into the world of it a little bit, and oh my gosh, it was hell. Like I swear I lost money. I sent it to the wrong place. I used a different currency to kind of transfer, and I transferred into wrong wallets. I lost 500 of my own at one point. I lost 500 of my brother's at another one. So
Sent it to the wrong like wallet address for buying the Omi.
and one time I
Oh
used
my gosh, that's so bad.
something different, like I don't know, like a different Ethereum thing, whatever. But yeah, I kind of started losing money in there, and it was pretty crazy and pretty. It was a little bit rough, until I found like a platform that was a little easier, and then started to like understand it. But at the beginning, it sucked because I wanted to try to get a lot of money into the stock, but I was having issues getting more than $500 in at a time. The company that was only letting me use $500, so I remember putting the $500 in, and then it turned into like that night it turned up, pretty heavily, and went up to like I think 0.5 or 0.7. It was fast. I don't know, something.
Like 50 cents or no,
Yeah, no, 3 zeros.
oh, three. Oh, okay, so it like 5x, 3x.
This was in like early February.
Yeah, I
And the
reached
guy that,
20 at one point, I think.
huh?
I think it reached 0.01 at one point. No, yeah.
But early on, before it got kind of shilled, it got kind of like all the influencers in when it boomed. And the guy that I worked with, he is a high up member of somebody. I think it's CM Top Dog.
I don't really know him, not sure.
He's some big wig dude on the influencer stuff, like with YouTube and stuff. And he's one of his like really high up subscribers to his stuff, and he's the one that told him it was gonna boom. So then it boomed.
I see.
So.
Nice. So, okay, so initially it was like a tip from someone who successful, and you're like, I'm gonna get into Omi, and then you realize that it's connected to an app where you buy collectibles, right? So,
Yeah.
Were you always into collectibles, or were you kind of just like, what is
this? No, never.
What is Vivi about, you know?
Yeah, never. That's the crazy part is I've never been into collectibles, and
me too.
I hadn't even really watched all the Marvel movies, to be honest, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it was really weird that I, you know, but took a liking like that. But don't get me wrong, I appreciate all the characters and I love them all still from, you know, because from childhood, and some of the movies are awesome that I did have took the time to watch. But when I found the collectible side, I just thought it was a really cool idea. You know, I started seeing the ones they already had on there, and I thought that was pretty impressive. But I started to also watch like the videos that were out at that time. Obviously, there was no influencers. Everything was on the Apple most, besides, you know, Donnie's and the Mooglies and then the HQ19. But everything else was sitting there, like millions of dollars just sitting there. You know, looking back at it now.
No one knew, you know, it's kind of like when Bitcoin was, you know, or like when Ethereum was like $20, I told my cousin in Korea a few years ago. When was Ethereum $20? Was it like a few years ago? Like 2 years ago?
Probably.
Yeah, and then I told them, and then it's like, you know, in the early stages, no one's gonna invest because they're just watching. But it's like no one knew that a Rezo or, you know, that sold for 80 gems, $80 is gonna sell for like 3,000-5,000, or you know, like HQ19, which sold for like under $100 in the app, is selling for like over 10K now. It could go up too. So
yeah,
it's just you never know. And then I think Vivi, you know, a lot of like I feel like they hardly spent on marketing. A lot of it grew organically because there was like the earning aspect, and that's why like a lot of these like crypto, you know, blockchain projects blow up, is because people have an opportunity to earn, like Axie Infinity. Like you could just, even though it's not much, it's like it's more than people would make in the regular day jobs, like in the Philippines, yeah, for example. So it's like it's changing the world, and I think DeFi gaming and like flipping and the money earning aspect is going to change, you know, like this is what's going to bring a lot of people into crypto. I mean, like even yourself, like it's like you were making good money, but you know, you realize like, hey, like this thing can make me even more money, and it's like the future. So why not get into it, you know? So,
yeah. And that's kind of my transition too. Cause I, now being in it, you know, I've been around like a lot of money in the app, especially in the people that I'm around in there, you know, you can see how big this is, you know, and then watching all the videos, trying to get caught up on crypto. So I'm trying to do my homework on NFTs and crypto, kind of get familiar with, you know, learning the entire space, because I do see how important it is. And I see how much it's going to, you know, help technology, you know? So just kind of looking into all those things, it's been amazing to kind of watch, you know, the growth in the area and see how much money is to be made here. Mm-hmm. And so I know that just, it's almost like being an intern too, right? Like I know for sure putting in my time, even if I wasn't crushing it now, I know that putting in the time right now is huge for the future, right? I'm going to be able to get a job in this space that makes me a lot of money, you know, and I can already see that, you know, so it's, the space is so wide open. The people that know about it and the people that are going to get educated in it and take the time for it, when it actually, you know, continuously unfolds and gets adopted by more and more people, and you know that I'm going to have a place here, you know, and there's going to be a place for a lot of people, a lot of jobs, and with crazy money too. So it's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, I think I heard that our generation is like the largest wealth transfer, well, one of the largest wealth transfers in history, because like a lot of the money in history has been tied up with like, you know, big hedge funds, banks, like, you know, generational money. And so like, it's really hard for you to get to that level. But now with like companies like Amazon and Microsoft, like people are realizing, well, like, you know, regular people can achieve, you know, can break those barriers, right? And even like, I don't know if you follow hip hop, but like even like someone like Nipsey Hussle, he came from the hood, the ghettos, and then he came from that to becoming a millionaire. And so it's just, it's crazy what's possible in America, and especially with crypto now and blockchain. It's like democratizing wealth in a way, which is really cool. You know, and then also like, it doesn't make sense. Like I saw this one post on Instagram. It's like, there's like a Chase ad for a bank, and then the savings percent is like 0.01%. And then they were saying, if you put, you know, like 10 grand into it or something, like you're getting what, like $100 or something in a year or something. So it's just crazy how like a lot of the traditional investment methods are really not like, doesn't make sense. So like crypto in a way provides another avenue for that. And then I think like I was born in the 90s, so I think it's only like our generation that has this type of opportunity. Like before, it was stocks, you know, like in Warren Buffett's age, but he didn't grow up with crypto like we are, and NFTs, which is like game changing. So yeah, it's really good to learn it now. I just think that most people are clueless about it. You know, obviously, like, you know, we're pretty deep in it because we're curious and explore and like take action, but I would say a lot of people are like oblivious to like the opportunities and what's possible. So it's kind of wanted you to kind of share your story too, because I mean, it seems like you kind of already had that like entrepreneur mindset from doing timeshares and, you know, finding other ways to make money than just, you know. So yeah, like tell us like from the beginning how you started. So you invested 20K into like which ones, and then like how did you flip it into like your first six figures, and then
all for sure
want to kind of share.
Yeah, so basically you know, I just started looking into the app, and when I started to watch some of the videos on it, and I already had invested maybe 1,000 I got in so far into like the AMI, and it had already went up, you know. And so when I started to look into it and I started to kind of see who the licensor was and some of the brands that they owned, I thought, dang, man, you know, like this could be a really good opportunity to kind of, you know, just check it out. Plus the ease of it, right? Like I didn't really know how easy it was to buy an NFT or how hard it was even, right? Until I kind of started to explore this area. And then, you know, going into kind of open seas, once I did that eventually, right? I really found how blessed I was to buy an NFT off of VV, you know, because it was entirely a different experience, you know. So, yeah, I basically took my first, I think it was my first $90, and I bought a Todd. I didn't know Todd was going to do what it did or anything like that, right? So,
well, I remember Todd was your first buy, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it was my first buy.
That's what, what's his name? Dan, I think Dan said that's his favorite as well. So it's interesting.
It's pretty. I mean, David's favorite.
Oh, David said that. Oh, I think
Dan. Yeah, it's really nice, you know, when you take it out and you look at it, spin it around and stuff. It was really,
like all the
really cool.
Yeah, it's number 100, Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
True. Okay. Yeah. So that was your first, and then kind of like, what was your?
It was so scary. It was scary, man. Even pressing the button that one time, I was just like, what did I do?
Yeah.
You know, what did I just wasted
money. It's easy because it's like a game, like you just buy the gems in the game. You just buy the collectible, you know, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I remember spinning and pressing the button the first time and just being like, you know, what the heck? And continue to just watch videos and kind of look at stuff and, you know, buy another little one here and there. Like go grab a Ritmo, you know, because it was $17. It was just
$17. That's like selling for like what, like a couple thousand now? I don't know.
Yeah, around, right? So I just went and grabbed like one of those at first and just started to kind of dabble around and it kind of just I seen the other ones that sold out. And I kind of looked at the resale market, right? And I'm like, hold on, it wasn't like it is now, of course, but they were like 2 to 3 times the money what it sold out for, you know?
Oh yeah. When they sold out, they would sell for like 2 to 3.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of just was like, wait, maybe if another one sells out, let me just go ahead and get a bunch of these And then hopefully when it sells out, it goes up two or three times, right? You know, hey, that's...
I'll just flip it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really cool. So I remember that the first crazy investment I made was I bought 40. I got to 20, but I bought 20 Robins, the ultra rare Robins, you know, at $60 each, which 20 was $1,200.
Yeah.
And that was a good amount. You know, I was thinking, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, but then
I actually transferred them over and bought 20 more.
What do you mean you transferred them over?
Because they maxed you out. Like once you got to 20, VB wouldn't, like on your same one, it wouldn't let you buy anymore.
Oh, so there's a limit of how many you could hold of this.
Yeah.
Also, you just made a new account and just bought 20 more?
Yeah, I just transferred them to the other account.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so how many did you hold of Robins, and how, like, kind of tell us some numbers, like, okay, you spent this much and then, you know, you flipped it, so like, and then with that it just snowballed, right? So kind of like,
yeah, so I bought 40, that was $2,400.
Yes. Yeah, so and Robins, yeah, okay,
yeah. And I they sold out after I bought the 40, you know, as I started seeing it sell out, that's how I started rambling more and more and more and just trying to buy as many as I could. And I was telling my whole family, go buy these. You know, and they were, you know, dabbling, you know, maybe one, you know, maybe two.
Uh-huh.
But I remember when it sold out, and it instantly started just shooting to the roof. And I remember selling my first Robin at $900.
Yeah, so from 50 to 900. So that's over 10x, yeah.
Yeah, and I had 40 of them. So I'm like, 40 at 900. It's 36 grand, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, hold on. Do I just have 36? So when I seen that, it still seemed like most people in the app didn't really know of the opportunity still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just took that money and sold a couple more Robins and literally took a lot of that money and rolled it into the next thing, which was Amanda Connor.
So you weren't collecting sets at the time. You're just kind of like collecting those.
No, I think I had maybe the unicorn set.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much the only set I had. I, at this time, I actually went and dabbled on, I think I did 8 or 9 of the Harley Quinn sixes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. HQ six.
Which then those, once they sold out, they started selling for $3,300 at the time. Yeah. It was at a higher level.
Yeah, that's true.
So gosh. I was like, hold on, I just made another $33,000, because I actually did. I sold those. Yeah. And then I basically rolled that money, that $60, from the $60 I spent on a Robin to the $900. Then I bought like 10. I think, or 12, no, 12 Batmans, Amanda Connors, with one Robin, basically, right?
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, so then I did that again with Amanda Connors. I sold a bunch of those and just really racked up on gems.
Okay,
and
can you give us the numbers? Okay, so you started with 2,400 on Robins, but I thought you bought Todd, so did you not buy a bunch of Todds?
One Todd. One only.
Oh, you only bought one. Oh, you didn't think of buying a lot and flipping those?
No. Well,
that one took time. Like, only now is selling at 1,000. So it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, man. I literally, those are sitting there for a while when I was in the app. They were sitting there for over a month, just sitting there thousands, actually, were just sitting there. So I remember telling my brother to go buy some, and he's like, man, that's a stupid comment. And I'm like, just go buy some.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter what it is, you know, anything that sells out, because we didn't even think of the first NFT thing, or it wasn't, that type of information wasn't there at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I then got into, like, you know, traders and all that stuff, a traders group and Telegram.
Wait, so, okay, so let's go over the numbers again. So you said, so you bought one Todd, and then you were like, okay, okay, was Rezo sold out? Is that why you didn't buy the Rezos?
No, it wasn't. It was sitting there, and I still bought one of those before it sold out, actually, too, which is crazy.
But you just started with the Robin instead of the, okay.
Yeah,
So you spent, so your first big investment was $2,400 for 40 Robins, right? And then you flipped that $2,400, you made around over 30 grand because you sold those 40 for 900 each, right?
Yeah.
So you made, you, so you turned 2,400 into like over 35 grand-ish. And then you turned that into like another 30 grand from Amanda Connors. So that's like 60 grand. And then you just kept, because yeah, I mean, over time drops got a lot harder, you know, obviously. So it's just, you made a lot of money early on and just kind of kept rolling it over, it seems like.
Okay. Yeah. And at that time I was also funneling 2000, like that's how I got up to spending my 20,000 out of my own pocket. So at that time I was also funneling new money and the flip money into the next things that I was doing.
Oh, nice.
So I started funneling in a little bit more, and my profits from the last flip towards the next things and just buying more and more.
Gotcha. But that's still like around, you know, so yeah, you already made around 60K, and then, you know, because to make half a mil, that's like almost more than five times that, right? So it's just,
oh yeah, now that's when the big money started coming. I thought that was amazing, you know. I thought that was crazy. And I also at that time went to finally find like a trader's room, because we were trying to find a Chinese, somebody from China to buy the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. It's funny how they made it that only certain items are for, I don't know. Is that still true today? Like only certain items is.
Yeah. Well, I think that was a restriction from them or something. I don't know. But
how about now? I feel like it's open to everyone. No, like every item. No. I don't know.
Only the marketplace items. So from the store, they couldn't be bought from United States. But once they hit the market, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it was a free market from there. But I went and bought, once I went on there and I found somebody from China, I was buying them. I was buying Bubbles and Hims.
Oh, wow. Bubbles.
For $70 and $90 a piece. And I thought that was a lot.
Wow.
I thought that was crazy, man. I was negotiating and all that because
70 to 90 bucks. Yeah. That's crazy.
And we still make fun of it now because I think I bought like 10 of them, and a couple of them are low mints under sub 100s. And yeah. I literally bought, I think, 10 and 12 of the Hems and the Bubbles. And then I bought, I think, 7 Professors or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Dang, that was crazy. Because that's the most, that, like in season one, that was the hardest set to get, right? I believe the Powerpuff
Girls. Yeah, it's expensive. That Donnie was is up to over 100 and something thousand on gems right now.
Has that been sold 400,000 yet or no?
I don't know. I've seen offset off app sales for like 70K real money.
Damn, that's crazy.
So I have seen that though.
Yeah, because that was one thing I was wondering is like, why did they choose to make the Powerpuff Girl the most rarest one? You know what I mean?
I just don't know if they've seen it being this big, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, there's like only, how many Donnies are there? Like 150 or?
So then take away however many, right? The 40 out of circulation too. So yeah. 110.
Oh, I didn't know 40's out of, oh, is that because it's reserved for the team? Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, damn.
So there's only 110 of them.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, imagine the future, Vivi, when like we have VR and we're like looking at the vaults, and then you just see your collection. It's just, I feel like it's gonna be crazy, like the whole metaverse thing, like Facebook changing their name to Meta, and like Vivi is definitely gonna be in the metaverse. It's just, and then the whole Master Collector program, it kind of reminded me of like Ready Player One, where you kind of, you know, those who have all the keys get access to the fortune of the, you know, like the whole organization. Yeah, yeah. I feel like, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, David Yoon, he's a collector, and obviously, like, you know, I feel like they started to, they wanted to help regular people just like how, you know, I feel like Batman, like their whole philosophy is kind of, you know, to help the common person instead of just, you know, the elites and stuff. So I feel like they'll have something special, something cool. But yeah, I mean, and then there's also like a private group, you know, for whales or those that are like pretty active, which is cool. So yeah, I feel like it's hard to make it unless you're a real collector, I guess. But it's just another thing is just like, I feel like the common person can't afford all these sets, right? I mean, yeah, I guess they could flip it like what you did, and then, but most people maybe own like just a few collectibles. They can't own like over 100 or 200 because that's a lot, you know? And so,
yeah, for sure.
I think
more than anything, the problem is that, you know, it's not like what brands or anything that these clubs have, right? It's what you're saying. It's the knowledge and knowing what we have, right? And the people that are in that stuff, they kind of, you know, they're researching the space and they're getting to understand what this is, not just some picture on the internet, right? So like us understanding what it means matters, and the average person just hasn't taken the time to understand it. But as time goes on and they start getting what's going on, then I think all of this will change, because at this point, I don't think we have 2,000 collectors on our app, right? If we had 2,000 collectors on our app, nobody would sell a resale, right? But they will, because there's a price to it. But that's not a collector, right? That has to do with flipping. So like, gotcha. We're getting to the point of having more and more collectors on the app. But until we have enough belief, right? Until we have that real belief. Somebody asked, hey, what's the difference between us and Bored Apes? And I said, confidence. Now, it's not just a utility, but these guys have stronger hands over there that are more confident about selling their stuff. If no hand sold resale at 100 grand, then it wouldn't be but 100 grand, right? Yeah. So like, we just have to have more time to build into something where it gets into the stronger hands over time. But when I kind of started to get into this space, I heard Pomp in the crypto world talk to somebody, and when he was talking to them, it kind of gave me more understanding of NFTs and then collecting. He was saying that it's a whole new collector's world, right? Like the old way of collecting is kind of old fashioned, right? There's nothing for them to show off what they collect, and collectors spend a lot of money, right?
That's true.
Yeah, everybody gets into this thinking about just the flipping, right? People with money go and spend millions of dollars all the time for entertainment. They don't care they're blowing money. They don't even care if they make money. It's not for that all the time. It's for that for some, but it's not for that for everybody, right? There's entertainment aspect. There's showing off. There's interaction. There's friends. There's community. And they don't have that. When I thought about that, because I'm not a collector, but when I thought about that and I went, that is crazy. If I was collecting all these years, these comics, who the hell would I be sharing them with? And now this is bringing that new age taste of what we do every day, which is be on the internet. It's bringing that to the collectible world where they have a new way to shine again, I think it's reviving collectibles entirely. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, I think this is huge for the collectible world. I think this gives them a space to kind of go and have community again, you know, beyond anything else. And when they start to see it, and at first I felt they're a little intimidated of maybe it bringing down the value of what they have, but I've seen nothing but it raise the value and interest in what they have, you know, so it's been amazing for the collectible space and the world. I've seen a lot of activities like going to the comic stores now. And I mean, now I started to collect, I probably have, I don't know, at least probably $10,000 to $12,000 now that I spent so far on collectibles now, and when I had zero, you know, and I think I have another $10,000 in collectibles on pre-order, and it's because they've got me to want to collect these things, you know, and I've never wanted to collect before in my life.
Well, what do you mean on pre-order? Are you talking about VV or are you talking about another NFT?
Other, yeah, no, real collectibles in real life. I have about 10,000 now, and then another 12,000 on pre-order.
Then what was the collectible that you're pre-ordering, or is it?
I have so many. I have a bunch from like big,
like physical ones, or about like NFTs.
Physical, no, like physical.
Like a cause or something, or.
Yeah, and I have this new transformer I just got today. That's $1,000 from Robinson.
All the things in your background, are they collectible stuff, like the things you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, some of them I'm not like keeping for value. You know, a lot of these I didn't buy like the most expensive ones.
You weren't a collector before, but you became one through VV essentially.
Yeah, and a lot of these are, you know, sentimental because of what I've gained from VV. I kind of went and bought the same things as a physical just because. And
the Marvel see, these comics are the back you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Marvel Comics is. You know, after doing so much data and research, I mean, I really spend over 12 hours a day at least in this app. That's or around Telegram and Twitter. It's all day, every day, because I don't want to miss anything. And
gotcha.
Because I am so vested, and I probably easily have, like you were saying earlier, I have well over $500,000 in gem value at least in the app right now. And you know, that moving 10% means a lot, right? Or 15% means a lot. So
yeah, that's huge. I mean,
yeah, I've done a lot to kind of reposition myself. I used to own every collectible, but I've kind of sold my way down into more stable things, I say. I kind of want to bet on certain ones now more so than just like the Master Collector program or having that dash next to the amount of sets.
Yeah, like, you know, like the common 1939 one you're talking about, the comic. So like, yeah. I actually, after you said that, I got like 5 because they're only selling for like 100, but I'm just like, okay, Josh knows what's up, so I'll just follow what he says, you know. But
I mean, if you think about that one entirely, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me, because I don't have to give any financial advice, right? I just ask people questions because people usually know more about the collectible than I do. Oh, but what I do is analyze what people have to have, the relevance of it, why people like it, things like that. And this is one of the craziest, most iconic comic in the world. And it's VV's first. It's Marvel's first. It's a no-brainer. I mean, and literally, as I say, I don't mean to say it this way, but I guarantee just about this. If Marvel Comics 1 doesn't make it, then VV doesn't make it. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. If their number one comic fails, they fail, in my opinion, right? So yeah. To me, it's the easiest bet on the app. And if I had to take every dollar I had and put it into something, it would be that, because to me, I'm not going to get thrown around, right? When the new thing comes out, because that comic collecting world is its own space. And if I own the most iconic one in that space, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I don't know how much the physical ones are going for, but yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. But okay, so my question is, obviously, you know, there's, you know, okay, like I'm pretty sure Disney's gonna have their own NFT platform, but they collab with VV for, you know, their stuff. I'm pretty sure that, you know, like big brands will have their own NFT marketplace, I feel like, you know, their own OpenSea account. So like, you know, or like DC, for example, but they did partner with VV to do it. But what do you think will happen if they make their own marketplace for their own NFTs? You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that?
I don't really honestly even see them doing it, right? And the reason I say that is just for this reason. Disney, why would Disney start their platform after all the FAs they've already gave away? Like, they wouldn't even have no bang, right? Because they're allowing, unless they don't allow us to have all the FAs that they do. But if we come out with like all the good stuff, like Ninja Turtles and all these ones, and Mickey and all these, unless they're doing like $1, $2, $4 collectibles, or they're not trying to I don't know. They're not trying to do it like that. And they're trying to kind of mass multi-do it like that type of thing. So I don't know. I don't really, I don't know if they would get into that. In my personal opinion, I think that they might leave that part to Vivi, and maybe they'll do a bigger collaboration. Yeah. Or maybe they'll be connected at the time first. And I think the same thing about Vivi to Disney. I don't think that this is entirely 100% a speculation, but just guess, like just my own opinion is I think that the Disneyverse is the Viviverse. I don't see Vivi working on it with the team they have.
Yeah, well, I feel like the whole metaverse is it's all going to be connected. Like I think Mark Zuckerberg was saying, like, you know, like I just click a button, I'm in a new world, you know. So it's like the metaverse, I think Tim Sweeney, the CEO of Epic Games, like one of the largest game companies, like he said the metaverse is going to be like the internet. It's not going to be owned by any one person. It's just, you know, there for everyone to use and create and build on top of, essentially, you know. So it's just like just how like you can't control someone to just stay on Facebook all the time. It's like you're going to have the freedom to visit whatever site or metaverse you want, you know. But it'll all be kind of connected, you know, in Web3, and there'll be like true digital ownership in this Web3 world. Because like the Web2 world of like social media and all that, it's like you don't really own your Instagram account because it could be deleted or banned or, you know, something like that. But if you own it in your MetaMask or your private wallet or hardware wallet, it's like you can't take it. They can't really take it away from you, you know? So, yeah, I think that's cool. But I think every big brand will have their own NFT department in the future, just because there's besides the, you know, there's a lot of technology behind it that just makes sense for creators to have their own like NFT department.
That's true.
You know, so it's like Vivi's great because like they got these big licenses, but once brands realize, hey, like we need an NFT department because we need to NFT our albums, we need to NFT X, Y, and Z, you know, like Vivi can't do all of that, you know what I mean? So I think every big brand will have their own NFT department in the future. It's just super new right now. I think, yeah, only the brands that are like thinking ahead are doing it. Like, yeah, but anyways, but yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's kind of like when the internet came out, people were like, or like when social media came out, you know, it's like causing a lot of disruption, but yeah, so yeah, comics are there. And then I guess we'll chime on this a little bit before, but yeah, the Master Collective program, what do you think, besides it allowing you to just get early access to mints, what do you think the real value of that will be, or significance, if there is any to that?
To me, I think a lot of it's going to revolve around the accessories, to be honest, because that's like the unique part, like what people in like OpenSeas and so forth, they say like. So I think that being able to purchase those type of things, not just obviously the lottery drop, right? But the fact you can purchase accessories to make your collectible unique, I think that portion of it will be nice, you know, will be really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's crazy because it sounds like the new tokenomics, like it almost like aligns with it. Like they almost sound like they made almost a similar program of the tokenomics, like it is with the Master Collector program when it comes to the lottery draft and the levels and stuff like that. It's kind of a lot. They're pretty similar, and it'll be interesting to see if they kind of match up more, because then it would almost be like we have been earning money with Master Collector points, right? If you can buy with the Ami, if you could buy the same accessories, which only you can earn with Master Collector points, then you could buy the same things. Like literally we have been earning money already, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll be real interesting to see if that's how they kind of, like if that's how it lines up, whatever. But yeah, I think that it was pretty simple. and plain when it comes to the tokenomics portion, but I feel like, again, it wrapped into the master collector program a little bit. And I think that draft will be huge on the collectibles that mean a lot. You know, everybody will go as hard as they can when it comes to the ones they know are going to be huge. I just hope they don't get, you know, come out with all the big things before that happens. Like I was telling Reese, I told him when I went to DCon, I said, dude, DCon? Come out with that thing. Huh?
Is DCon Gary's conference? Gary V?
No, DCon. DCon.
Oh, DCon. Is that, I don't know that.
Designer Con. Yeah, I went to.
Oh, Designer Con. Oh, yeah, that already happened, right? That was in like,
yeah.
That was in Anaheim, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to run into, you know, talk with Reese and all the team and stuff. It was real cool to meet the people.
Dope. Designer.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Dope. But yeah, that's exciting. Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot going on. And then they still haven't even done their land sale. So that's going to be huge, you know.
Yeah, the land sale is going to be interesting. At first, when everybody was talking about VV versus me being a regular person not into this space, I honestly just blew it off all the time. And I was like, these guys are crazy. I have no idea what they're talking about. And it sounds silly. And
about land?
The more the land. Yeah. Because I didn't understand. I didn't get it yet at the time.
You didn't see like in the beginning land or sandbox. You didn't see like,
but I didn't know about any of those things. So I'm literally like in the beginning, I'm like, what are these guys talking about? It almost made me feel like it was a scam more. Like when people are saying it's a scam, I'm like, dude, this is crazy. Like are people crazy? And, you know, over time, obviously understanding it, that I really realized how valuable land is. And it's amazing. I have people in my little circles that I have that are saving multiple six figures to go out and get land. You know, so it's wild to hear how much money is getting ready to be put into BBverse or any land they come out with. It's amazing. I can't even fathom, you know, what these guys are ready to spend on this. So, but I get it now. And I mean, I some of these houses, it sounds like, are going to be as much as real ones in real life, you know, so.
Did you see that thing where there was a yacht that sold on Sandbox for like $600,000?
Yeah, exactly. That's wild, you know?
Easy. Yeah, so it's like, that's enough to buy you a real yacht, you know what I mean, in real life. And so like, it's just, and then there was that news about the plot of Axie Land being sold for like $2 million. So it's happening. It's already happening, you know?
I mean, obviously I'm in a couple groups, you know, a master collector group with 23 or 24 people. Yes, including David, you, and one more employee as well that nobody hears about or knows about. So
he's probably does all the work because like, it's like the people who you don't see who are doing everything. But anyways.
But we obviously don't ask him like, you know, that insider stuff, or he doesn't go into, you know, things like that, but it's just cool to be able to interact with them and, sometimes get things to him that is needed from the community. Because sometimes, you know, we're our best eyes, you know, and that's why actually I've going into this thing, I want to make sure I do touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I've created a website called vvhelp.com. And
check it out.
Yeah, and what it's very plain and simple, but all it's there to do is connect a person to somebody who can help them get started on VV and understand it. You know, because I didn't realize, because how much of a veteran I am in it and how much time I spend in it, I don't realize what people feel like when they first get in.
And yeah, that's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so now I've been doing a lot of research in that, and I make sure I ask all those questions and find out how it feels to be a brand new person, because that's ultimately what I want, right? We all want adoption. And I started to see things when they got the Disney license, I started seeing Disney advertise, and then I started to see the bad reactions and then bad ratings. And I started to realize that that they needed help. It wasn't that they hated our platform or anything. They honestly misunderstand us because there's no true space to really explain to them what's happening, right? So like, even when they saw the unable to reserve, they just thought the app is broke, not that it's sold out, or, you know, they don't know any of it, right? There's nothing to tell them. So there's no tutorial. There's no, I had one time a person come in the room and ask why he couldn't cash out. He was just trying to cash out. He was in his wallet, just sitting there trying to convert because it was a piece that was on the app, right? But he didn't know. And then he didn't even know that it might come, right? So like, just a space where people can go to ask questions. And Twitter Spaces is one of those. And most of the links I have in there connect you to the person that has a Twitter Spaces going, where people go to ask questions and stuff anyway. Gotcha. So I really want to be able to help the beginning consumer and stay with the app and understand it better. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think there's a market for that too, where like I was telling you earlier, you could even offer like coaching on, you know, how to do VV, and that could be a side revenue or something. But yeah, it's just, you're so deep in the space that you realize it's kind of like what I am, I guess, for social media, or what I do. It's just, you're so deep in it, you don't realize like 98% of people don't know what you know. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a big, I mean, and that could be a money-making opportunity too, technically. So, but yeah, do you have any kind of, you know, last thoughts on, you know, anything with what's going on, or things you want to share, or you know, things like that?
Yeah, just I think everybody should look into the space, you know, regardless. It doesn't even matter if it's VV or what it is, but you should definitely look into the space. NFTs are real, you know, crypto is real, it's here. And there's a lot of opportunity in it. So, you know, we're still early. Don't feel like, as I say, you know, sometimes my friends are playing video games, and I don't want to get into the video game because they've been playing it so long. I feel like, you know, because I'm too far behind. And don't feel like that. You know, it really isn't like that. You know, there's somebody in the space all the time that is willing to help. There's so many different avenues. It feels like Twitter ends up being like a huge NFT space, you know.
I think Twitter's making their own like NFT thing as well. That's what I heard. The Twitter's having their own NFTs, so you could link your NFT to your Twitter or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and then going back into that thing, somebody told me that I should do YouTube videos like with the challenges, with like, start off with 500 gems or 100 gems and see what I would do in a week with it, and then have it on a video, and then a 500 maybe, or 1,000, and things like that.
That would be interesting. Or like you could do it on TikTok too. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give my number one hint out, and this is my number one thing for investing. And it's my saying is, when Pokemon comes out, is your collectible going to be okay?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
And that's
like, when Pokemon comes out, will your collectible be okay? Is that what you said?
Yeah, all your other collectibles you own, is it going to devalue them or not?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And if it does, you might want to move your money and gems into something that it's not going to hurt.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense, right? That's my biggest advice to
Pokemon
people.
Comes out, yeah, because Alfred Kahn, the licensor for Vivi, did bring Pokemon.
It doesn't even have to be Pokemon, right? But that's my saying, because it's just, when the next relevant thing comes out, Ninja Turtles and this and that, whatever it is, are they going to take from whatever collectible you own right now? Mm-hmm. Is it going to take from that and take 3 gems out of it? And then next time the next big thing comes out, is it going to take another 10 gems from it? Mm-hmm. And then the next time, right? So you're bleeding. Right. When nobody cares about the Memecorns, when there's 600 Batman things and DC and Turtles and everything else. Right. True. So you got to be careful with what you're investing in. You know, don't just do it because it puts a number on your check mark on the side of the master collector thing that you think is helping you the most, right? Mm-hmm. I've had 3,000 collectibles now for months, and I think that that's going to help me more than having all that check marks next to the sets.
Right, the collector points thing.
Yeah, it only takes 4 commons to equal a point, right? At 0.25. So 4 of them equal a point. Or I could get 1 point for owning a Donnie, or 3 point, or a point and a half for owning Donnie. So yeah. I'm not saying Donnie's not valuable, and that's the reason to look at it, right? Because I don't play for master collector points. I play for my value, and I play to build my collection. And the only way to build my collection is to build value so I can go out and get the things that are expensive. Gotcha. So
yeah, true. Dope. So yeah, where can people find you on Twitter? Like, where do you, you know, where can people link or connect with you?
Look me up at NFT Interviews and
on Telegram.
Also recently,
on Telegram or Instagram?
Oh, Telegram is actually it's going to be my, is it under Joshua Mixon or Best VV Collectibles OG?
Let me check.
You could probably post it for me. Yeah,
it's VV _ Collectibles _ OG. And then your first picture was always was of you with the Donnie. So I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was your first one, I remember. But now it's the Gold Kong. So.
Oh, yeah, because I've been building up that group, the Kongs. And it's all the Kongs too, but I have the Gold Kong on there with my Gold Moogly 101.
I know. So, cool. Oh, you have a 101. I have Adventures at Time 1, Season 1, 101 matching mints. So got the 101 connection there. But
by the way, everybody, this is the guy that owns the Todd. Yeah, 1988.
Most people won't. I don't even know if most people will make it to this part, but yeah, it's so I paid $30,000 plus like 10 ultra rares. So that was a lot because he was wanting like 10K or something like that, or around there. But I was like, so I wasn't a collector either until like VV and NFTs and stuff, but I was just like, it'd be cool to have that because that's the year the thing came out. And if this is really a collector's app, then that should be pretty valuable, you know. So
yeah, that's a heavy one.
Yeah, that's the first drop, first Batman, so first season. So yeah, it's pretty good. But then
you're winning over here. You got somebody's collection and just one collectible right there.
Yeah, true. But I mean, I'm not on your level of, I feel like I should have been flipping like you did, but anyways, yeah, we all have our strengths, and you know, we'll hang out in the metaverse anyway. So yeah, that'd be cool. So on Twitter, what was your handle, or do you do Twitter or do you,
I like Twitter because, you know, there's spaces that go on all the time, you know, the videos.
Invite me to some because I'm not familiar with that yet, and I want to start doing some, I guess.
But my name is it's NFT Interviews.
Is it because you want to start doing interviews, or
and I want to start just doing kind of what you did with me right now, right? Just talking with people and helping them out, also giving them some foundation, or giving them a place to speak, because there's a lot of people with stories similar to mine, or that started even with less, or started with more and turned it into multi-millions, and just,
yeah, that's crazy.
It's such a wild space, you know. And
it is, it really is. Okay, gotcha. I followed you on there as well. But yeah, that'll be really cool. I think that'll be really cool. I guess we'll you guys can check him out as NFT Interviews. If you ever need help like setting up your podcast or kind of learning stuff, like let me know, help with that. Thanks for kind of sharing your story and a bit of background. I think there's a lot of money to be made in flipping, so if you guys are curious, you could reach out, you know, to me or to Josh, on Instagram, obviously. So this is the 1939 comic.
Yeah. Oh.
Number one.
There we go.
Dang. NFT interviews. Nice, nice.
So I made this hat and got it signed by Reese.
Oh, dope. We should get signed by David. David, another one.
David's gonna get me my Labbit signed.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
Yeah, the Labbit points.
Yeah, I've never heard of those. Like a lot of the items I've never heard of, like serial killers, and like I was just like, I've never heard of these, but it's pretty because oh, there's the Todd. Let's see the Todd. That one. That's the nice.
And this is my newest baby right here. This is amazing.
What is that? Transformers?
This is a real robot.
Oh wow.
I just got it today. It was Optimus Prime.
That's pretty cool. Oh shoot. Well, that's pretty cool. How much was that? It's like
$1,000. $1,000.
Dang. Okay. Okay. And that's all it does? Does it like move around?
It does everything. Oh, hey, okay. Optimus Prime. Transform.
That's crazy. Wow. Dude, that's pretty sick. Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. Now you need Bumblebee and the other yeah, one.
It literally does push-ups. You can do a fight. You can fight it. It has an app.
Wow. That you can
teach it to do whatever you want it to do. It breathes on its own. It sits there and it moves like on its own. And
wow, that's crazy.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That's crazy.
It weighs like 20 something pounds.
20 pounds. It's pretty heavy.
It has like 9,000 pieces and like 18 motors and like something. It's crazy.
Dang. I didn't even know that. I know there was a Todd that was like a real size, like a real life size thing as well that sold for like I don't know how much, but this was when I was like researching, like, okay, what's you know, like how much did the physical one sell for? So you have like an idea, like the unicornos, some of them are selling for a good amount too, like the physical ones, but anyways. But dope. Yeah, so just followed you on Twitter. Just, you know, you guys can check out Josh, and if you want to connect with him, follow him on Twitter. And then or me, NFT interviews on Twitter. And I'm Ray.on on Instagram. But thanks, Josh, for taking the time, and appreciate, you know, sharing your story, and we'll connect more. Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Take care, everybody.